We really have to thank our building committee for getting the air conditioning working finally after that long, hot summer, don't we? So, growing up in my house, and my mom's endless attempts to civilize the barbarians she was attempting to raise, we used to hear a lot of instructions. It's hard to pick out, you know, which one got repeated the most often. I think it was kind of a tie between pick up your socks and underwear and when you put the plates in the sink, at least rinse them off. Might be elbows off the table. I mean, it would have been three, you know, any one of those three would have been the most numerous ones between either directed at me or my seven siblings. So, it's kind of pertinent because the word widow is used in the King James Bible 82 times. I know all you guys knew that already, but I had to look it up. And in 59 of those cases, there is an accompanying teaching or instruction to the effect that, listen, widows are vulnerable. They need your special care, your awareness, that they not go hungry, that their kids don't go unfed. And you know, you go through that, you go through the Old Testament, and don't shake all the olives off the tree. Leave some up there. So the widows and the orphans, the stranger can stop by. Don't take all the grain off the fields. Leave the corner so the widows can come and eat. A special attention. But why would it be necessary to give 59 different instructions and teachings and repeat it so often? Kind of gets back to the socks and underwear thing. Because it was given, but it didn't happen. Widows remain constantly at risk. It's the same dynamic that fed the many times that Israel had to be reminded. Don't worship idols. Don't go to the high places and offer sacrifice to Baal. Do you know why it had to be given so many times, that instruction? Because throughout the course of Israel's history, from the time of David and Solomon right up to the destruction of Jerusalem, it was going on. Or how many times in the epistles, in the New Testament? How many times do we encounter the instruction, listen, get along, let there be no divisions and disputes among you? It's a frequent instruction, it's a constant instruction. You can find it throughout just about every epistle. It has to bring it up again. And do you know why? Because there were constant divisions and disputes in Christian communities. People weren't listening. Now let's take our guy, the judge, this morning. In Deuteronomy, especially in Deuteronomy, where the term widow is used the most of any book in the Bible, it says, the following two just sort of jumped at me. It says, if you don't act on behalf of the widows and the orphans and the strangers, their cries will rise to me as a testament against you. That's pretty harsh. Also, the other one was particularly applicable to our friend the judge. Cursed be the one who perverts justice for the widow, the stranger, the orphan. Does the judge care about that? No. Jesus already tells us he had no regard for God. Not even that he put himself under the curse of God. Doesn't care. What he cares about ultimately is this woman will keep coming and bothering me. I know what the translation is pretty cleaned up here, but in Hebrew, the word is, I'm afraid this woman is going to come and punch me in my eye. Give me a black eye. So ultimately, he decides to do it because it's in his own direct personal interest to do it. He's afraid the lady is just going to get exasperated and pop him one. Not the highest motivation, we'll agree. This is the third time in Luke's gospel. Talk about repeated instruction. This is the third time in Luke's gospel that Jesus speaks about prayer. First, there's the guy who's trying to get to sleep at night. He's got the noisy neighbor banging on his door for whatever. He says, well, if I don't get up and give it to him, I can't sleep. And then about the father, would any father give his son a snake when he asks for an egg? It takes you through that. So this is the third time Jesus speaks about prayer. And the widow is our example. She keeps at it. She keeps praying. But it's not just her personal agenda. Yeah, I mean, she's got a stake in this. She wants justice. But so does God. 59 times in the Bible, God wants justice and care for those who are vulnerable. She prays. She acts. She's consistent. She wants what God wants. And that's our take-home message, too. It's sort of our prayer guide. You know, you and I, when we pray, we don't pray to Jesus. We pray with Jesus. To want what the heart of Jesus wants. Thy kingdom come, my Father. Thy will come. Be done on earth as it is in heaven. The daily bread we pray for is to strengthen us to do the work that needs to be done in the world. Our forgiveness so that we don't have disputes and contentiousness that defies us so we can do that work together and support each other. Deliverance from temptation and evil so we don't get distracted and off course that diverts us in a way from doing what is in the heart of God. We pray with Jesus to act together to bring about the Father's kingdom, which is a kingdom of justice and peace and love, that we might be actuators and doers of reconciliation and renewal in our daily life. Pray always. Pray always. Do not lose heart. Pray always. And pick up your socks and underwear, and don't put the dirty dishes in the sink without rinsing them. Amen.